CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
What's up, beautiful people of the world?
Welcome to the West, guys. Wake up.
Welcome, Ghoulies.
Take it away.
West Wednesday.
At a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. Same air that made too, I got more fire. Why these bitches see you? Go home, Rod.
Go home, Rod.
She is a mirror in my bed, I'm a smart guy.
I ain't fucking with you niggas like a part-time.
Someone, let's check my archive.
Yo.
So
good to be with you on this Wednesday afternoon. It is 2:04 p.m. The sun is shining outside. It's a great day. And you are chilling with the worst guys on the worst Wednesday. Like I said, my name is Mark Julia. I am your host for the day. And I am hanging out with some champions as usual. Today, we have a fantastic guest in the studio. His name is Mandla Hlatswayo. Say what up, Mandla. Say what up to the people.
Fantastic.
He's feeling fantastic. There, we got your volume up.
Fantastic.
Are you feeling the vibe? Are you feeling wavy?
My G.
Let's feel wavy. Let's go.
There's always waves.
Yeah, man. So it's really great to have you in studio with us today, because you're quite a big deal in South Africa.
Quite a big deal.
All right, Mandla over here. You won Big Brother South Africa.
Way.
2014,
way
right?
It's like a throwback.
Yeah, that is a throwback. So tell me, coming from there, I mean, like, is the exposure as a Big Brother winner that big? Do you actually get noticed around when you walk around South Africa?
Well, since firstly. And foremost, I'd like to say hi to everybody who took their time to just listen to the interview, like I requested all my people to do.
Dope.
It always feels good to be here at Cliff Central, you know.
Thanks for coming, man.
There's always a vibe. Yeah. And since it's like like a talk show for the bulk of it, I'll correct you in challenging a spong. We'll start with the surname. Actually, Hlatswayo.
Hlatswayo, all right.
Hlatswayo is something else.
So Mandla Hlatswayo.
Yeah, it's Hlatswayo.
I wish
I could translate it into English.
I
still don't know what it means. You know, I know there's some stabbing. There's something to do with stabbing. Yeah, there's something to Hlatswayo somewhere there.
Yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, Maji, do I get recognized?
Yeah.
When I'm walking down
in the streets in South Africa. I mean, was that
streets? That will live upon.
Yeah. Was that the thing that shot you into the celebrity atmosphere or the entertainment field where people started to recognize you? Maybe not in the streets.
You know what? In the era of social media and all those things and your sesetus and all those people, it's so easy for anyone to be recognized.
Yes, that's
to be quite frank. So it's not even a matter of having been on TV for a certain amount of time. It's just a matter of someone having enough
following
memory. Yeah, and the following as well, to either put the two together. So I don't really pay attention to it, but when it does happen, it's always a nice feeling, man.
Cool. So what were you doing before Big Brother? I saw you on your bio. You were a spaza shop owner, right? At the age of 24, that's when you entered Big Brother.
Yeah.
And now you went into the show. What was your life like before the limelight? Did you always want to be in entertainment per se?
This feels like such a throwback.
We'll get into what you're doing now soon enough, but we just want people to get to know you a little bit.
Those people who don't. Yeah, pardon the vernac.
No pardon, dog. Yeah, this is SA Kuluma.
Okay. Prior to Big Brother, as I always say, I was just a young kid from the Vaal trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I actually managed to do that was vice versa. You know, it was not a calling. It's just something that, you know, because people are sentimental, like, what happened to the spaza?
Yeah.
You are the spaza. And I'm like, dude, you know what? I did the spaza thing because at the time, there was a need for me to do it.
And
you know,
there was a gap in the market.
There was a gap for it. And when I go back to the same spot now, there's people there, there's competition. So obviously, I'm not going to go back and open it right there at the same place. But I still do love that business side of me, and it's something that I'm just hoping to relaunch, but on a proper and a bigger scale. Because you know, when you do mediocre things as well, you know, people will be like, where's the man? Ah, why are you doing this? Why are you still selling keeps in the corner when you're supposed to be opening that and that and that and that and that?
Yeah.
So prior to Big Brother, I did this puzzle shop thing. But prior to this puzzle shop thing, I was a student. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, where did you studiate?
I did like a good 2 years of EPCOM economics at UNISA.
Oh, okay. A good
and then,
2 years.
Yeah. Not even.
Right,
that's when like life got a bit too challenging and I had to decide, you know, whether I stick it out for one more year or go into this puzzle thing like I did, you know. Yeah.
And it ended up being relatively successful. So do you think you made the right decision?
I think, every decision that we take, you know, leads us to the present, and that is all I can ever be thankful for. Like, to
I
be here. So yeah, as long as I'm still here and I'm still working towards my dream, then man, I'm happy. I'm happy. Can I take it even further back?
Go all the way.
Further back than that.
Not sperm cell. We're ready.
Yeah, not a sperm cell. At least you.
No. Still on the hustle mode. Because people just know this Faza thing, and that's what they see of me, and they can't see, you know, anything bigger than that.
Yeah.
Prior to me, how I got into UNISA, I used to sell cool times. I don't know what they call them nowadays, because it's always now it's like below zero or something like that. You know those things, though.
Oh, no, those ICs sell at the rank.
Yeah,
okay.
That's how I got to UNISA, actually, because I didn't have the funds to go to varsity.
Yeah.
So I think it was either the first or second year after matriculating, I just was like, let me just go hustle and see what's happening.
Yeah.
For like, my gap year, actually, was just that. My gap year, I just went out.
Was hustling. And, you didn't go to Thailand.
Yeah, my gap year, being second up lane and clean.
What about
selling.
Matric Vag?
No, dude, ain't no time for that. Like, if I had the funds, if I had the means, I would have definitely taken out a year and figured out what I want to do, like your Steve Jobs did. And, you know,
but you're out here, you're selling below zero.
Yeah, I was selling below zeros, and I made quite a decent amount of money, you know, enough to get me into UNISA.
Jesus,
only when I got into UNISA. Then I got, you know, the whole NASFAS thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I got myself into UNISA, which is your below zeros.
Oh, wow, that's incredible, dude. So you're a natural born hustler. I know this phrase has been used time and time again, but there's some
raped.
People who are just natural hustlers.
It's been raped. That and the whole humbleness thing. There's so many words that have been raped.
They have been raped, but I mean, they do apply. Because it seems to me like you're somebody who, if there is no plan, you're going to have to find a way of your own.
I'm quite industrious, if I say so myself.
No, that's crazy. Yeah. So now you are in music.
Yeah.
I've listened to a couple of your tracks, which I really, really like banging to.
One have you listened to?
No Games. No Games. The one featuring Kevin Lee Grant, right?
Yeah.
I was on it. So you're in music now.
Yeah.
What is the difference between music and where you were previously? Yeah. Let's not say Spaza. Let's take you out of
the music video for a Spaza shop. You know what I mean?
Keep your sunlight.
You know.
No, let's say in the limelight, the difference between coming from something like Big Brother, where you're on TV, where it's mostly your personality, to music, where you reveal a lot more of yourself in something like music, in art.
And so, that's the beauty of it. Like a lot of people know me to be an introvert, you know, which is quite true for most of the time, but you know, there's always that one thing that each of us has to express whoever it is that you think you are. And for me, it's always been music. It's not even about after Big Brother, you see.
Yeah,
I was going to even take it further back, you know, further back prior to even the below zeros, you know.
Just
to make sense of this whole music thing, of how long it's been and how long I've been, you know, in love with it. And
before you even got
before even Big Brother. So it's only now that I actually have taken the conscious decision to say, you know what, like you once consciously took a decision to have a gap year and go out and hustle in that particular way, maybe below zeros and whatever. This is the 1 year that I'm just not even just 1 year, but I'm going to put out the most of my time this year to just doing what I love, which is music, man.
Yeah. So all roads lead to music. That's what I've always felt and believed.
Hey, man, he who dares wins.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So you know what it is. You're chilling with the worst guys. My name is Malcolm Julie. Hang out with Ria Beso Cecile. And if you want to, you can catch us on WhatsApp. You can message us right here in studio live on 079-748-2090. I'll give you that number again. It's 079-748-2090. And you can also hit us up on all the social medias. On Twitter, we are at @the_worstguys. And Instagram, we're just the worst guys. You can also hit us up at cliffcentral.com.
You can hit me up as well.
And Mandla, at Ian McLeod.
There's an interesting story for that.
Tell us before we get into some stories of the day. Yeah, what's the name? Yeah.
Ian McLeod, basically, from how it's spelled to the whole meaning. But I think I'll just stick with the meaning.
Yeah.
Ian McLeod. Ian, it's EN, which is like Ian one in Afrikaans.
There's
an MC, which is like a master of ceremony or a rapper.
And then there's
Loud. And those were the three things that I sought out to be when I started rapping.
Yeah.
One loud rapper. But ironically as well, I don't know if it's ironic, but it's also like a name that I used to be called by when I was a kid. I was a short, chubby kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just Ian McLeod.
There was this one
guy. There was this one guy, Jay. You know, a lot of people just knew me as Bobo.
And there was
just this one guy, may his soul rest in peace, so small. He just called me Ian McLeod because I was this short and chubby kid.
What?
You know? Yeah. So when he passed away, I took that conscious decision to just take that name but give it like a more hip meaning.
That's dope, man. So you just got given this name, Ian McLeod.
Hit him up
on Twitter as well if you want to message him. But yeah, we're about to get into a couple of stories that have been trending over the last week since we last spoke. You know, it's always a lituation with these stories. It's always a lituation in South Africa.
Extra, mean ass, wayward, trouble again. Wayward, penny, at it again. Read about it. Extra, place, grab, young fella, and extra, extra. All right.
So, the first story is a relatively sad one. It's Ahmed Kartara's death. He recently passed away on Tuesday, and we'd just like to give him applause for all his service. This man spent 26 years in prison. Riyad Musa has a joke about him. He's an Indian, right? He's like, Mandela got the full 27.
Ah, here we go. Got a discount.
This is so good humor. This is something that he said himself. I was listening to a podcast interview that he did with Gareth Cliff, actually, I think last year. And they replayed it recently because of his passing. And yeah, man, he's an interesting guy. He's funny. Apparently, he was the class clown of the guys, because he's the only one out of all the Robben Island prisoners to have been at all three trials with Mandela, Walter Sisulu, and obviously him, Ahmed Kathrada. He was the third.
You know, it was interesting, man. My dad,
because
he met this chap, right?
And then Kathy.
Ian Kathy.
Womcat.
Oh, I thought you were saying Ian McCat.
No.
Oh,
Womcat. Like Uncle Cat.
So no. My dad chilled with Womcat and Riyad Musa, and then now as soon as he passed on, he was quick to take out those pictures. Like you know.
I know this. It's actually funny, hey.
Dad, you can chill. You know.
We believe.
I remember you were with this cat.
Yeah, but you didn't fight the struggle. You weren't in Robben Island. You weren't hiding in Rivonia.
I don't know. Next thing I find out, my dad's gonna be telling me he spent 5 years at Robben Island. I don't know.
You never know. You know, sorry to interrupt. I actually also did meet Womcathy once upon a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in those hustling days. Funny enough.
Another throwback.
This show should be on a Thursday for this guy.
I think it was sometime in 2010 or 10, 11, 12, somewhere I don't remember quite well. There's like this crash around my hood. you know, it's very small. And then there was like, oh, there's this guy that was in Robben Island. He's there. You must come and see him. I'm like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And then they were needing some interpreter way before the whole Chanchi thing.
Also, yeah. All the interpreters were legitimate.
So were you going to go play that role?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, I wasn't going to sign. You know how in the hood, like, some people are still not as good with English, you know. So
okay.
I would have probably just gone from English to Sizulu or from English to Sotho. Oh, but funny enough, there was a guy who was signing, funny enough. And I always think back to that day. What if it was Janji? What if I got like a 2-in-1 that day? What if? Because I didn't take pictures that day. I was just like, I don't know this guy. I didn't take pictures. But I've got a friend of mine, you know, as soon as...
Yeah,
Umkethi passed on. He was like, ah, whoopow. You remember that day? I'm like, ah, God.
So how did you feel about him? Was he a cool guy?
No,
I never got to meet him, but he sounds like he was a cool
guy. I got like a bit of an interaction with him. I know he was either born the 26th or the 28th of August.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah, because when he was making a speech that day, he did say something along those lines.
Well, Google can always confirm that.
Yeah. So it was sometime in August, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and I told him how I share a birthday.
Yeah, 21st of August.
21st.
Yeah.
All
right, so okay. The funeral was taking place this morning
West
in Randburg,
Park Cemetery.
West, bless you. So, but yeah, as usual, South Africans turned this into a political outcry, which I think is kind of sad, but although it is a platform to speak. I mean, here's somebody, the last of the true heroes of this country. Or the true heroes of the ANC, rather. This is the last guy who was really there for it. Part of the original gang, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I think it is a place to stand up and say, listen, we've lost this last guy. We can't let it go to shit. Although it might be a little bit too late for that, some might argue.
Maybe it was an inside job. Zuma had something to do with it. Maybe it was this guy must die.
This guy's time was coming.
So, you know, and we always say, you know, unexpected, and it was too soon. Even when the person is like 150.
Yeah, it was your time, dog.
We always say, no, it was not expected. You know?
Yeah, so anyway, an open letter, the open letter that Ahmed Khatrada wrote for Zuma to resign was reread in the funeral by Khalema Motlanthe.
Yeah.
And yeah, people are calling for Zuma to step down once again. Pansy Zuma is the outcry. But yeah, we've come to know that Zuba's indestructible.
I don't think just because this homeboy, you know, is pushing daisies right now, Zuma's going to step down. Zuma's probably thinking, you know what, he's gone now.
He's probably one of the last threats in his way. That's why he's organizing with Pravin Gordhan, trying to get Brian Molefe as a prime minister. This is another story crept up. As the Minister of Finance. My apologies. He wants to be... So apparently, Brian Molefe is the next to take the place of Pravin.
What happened?
It was all good
just a week ago.
Yeah,
like,
I know, but
what happened?
Maybe the Khatrada death is probably a real factor in this, in the fact that there's no one looking over what's happening. And I think Brian Molefe was the plan from the beginning.
I thought you were going to say Brian Badloy.
No, Brian Molefe was the plan from the beginning, because as soon as he entered Parliament, we were all like, this is suspicious behavior. Yeah. So,
the Eskom guy?
Yeah, he's the Eskom guy. Eskom obviously didn't make any profit. They failed, so I don't know how all the parastatals have failed.
No, I promise. This country's going to make a profit.
Yeah, I don't know how he's the right choice, other than the fact that it's colluding. The Guptas as well. Because, you know, the Guptas, four of our main banks stopped banking with the Guptas as an attempt to
were they not kicked out?
It was an attempt to prevent more of a state capture. So now I think if Brian Molefe is in power, that kind of gets moved out of the way. We can capture it
like
again. So this is, I'm honestly scared, because we've dodged so many junk status
ratings.
Yeah, we've dodged time and time and again, and we have another review coming up in June.
Yeah.
And if Brian, in fact, it might even happen beforehand if Brian Molefe becomes the next finance minister, because people will be like, nope, This is too risky. It's gone to shit. South Africa is junk status. The beginning of Zimbabwe is right here, right now.
On the horizon.
Potentially. Potentially. So, yeah, that's really something scary in terms of what's happening in our country.
How many times has this cabinet been reshuffled, though?
I'm not entirely sure, but Guinness, man, to do the... Yeah, but...
The honors.
Dude, this guy just,
that.
He really has no idea what he's doing. He doesn't care about the country. I think we all know that. But, I mean, he's pulling out all the stops to save himself. I might go out and on a limb and say this guy won't see a jail cell.
Won't see?
Won't see a jail cell.
Yeah, but I Unless think we've always visiting. Known that.
Yeah,
he'll never see a jail cell, but he'll see 2019.
As the president of this country. Yeah, most likely, dude. What can get this guy down right now?
Death.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing that can stop him. That's the only thing that can stop him. Anyway, yeah, those are the most interesting stories to come out of South Africa this week for me. So, yeah, we're going to go right into our boy Mintos over here.
Yeah.
He's making some music, and it's sounding really dope. The first track I'm going to play is the one that I've listened to.
Yeah.
It's No Games.
No James.
No Games. I like the video as well. The visuals are really nice. Where did you shoot that?
We shot it downtown Johannesburg.
Oh, cool.
Funny enough, at some place where I had my first car accident.
Oh, hectic.
Yeah. So when I saw that building, I was like, ah, this guy.
Yeah.
He's pulling some other stuff. Oh. That guy that speaks to the people on the other side.
I have no idea.
He used to be on that other channel. The white guy that can speak to the people on the
other
side.
Oh, on the other side of the... I have no idea what you're talking about.
I felt like you probably had a conversation with those people like, yo,
get Yeah, yeah. Well, how did you get into that accident?
Hey, dude, it was some stupid...
It was a night of kittiness.
No Games.
All right, with that being said, let's go right into it. This is No Games by Milo. By Mintos featuring Kevin.
Whitney Houston song, Machi.
No. Oh, was I going in on that Sunday song?
No Games. No Games by Mintos. Yes.
Hey, you gotta have the smooth talking voice every now and again.
The barato.
Yeah. Let the ladies know you can get down low.
No, that's not ATM. You need that ratchet. That was my nigga Mintos. Yeah.
No games, nigga.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the one, man. I like that track. Thanks for the plug, man. Nah, no stress, bro.
Thanks for the plug. Play it even when I'm not here. I think that would make me even happier.
Play what?
Even when I'm not here.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. We've got it on our playlist now, so we've got you for life.
Those
bro.
Are great.
We've
news.
Got you for life. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the music that you're doing, right?
Yeah,
so, you are working as an independent artist, or are you working as an independent artist?
And I haven't gotten that call from Mavala.
I'm not from Mavala. I don't think you want that call from Mavala, dog. You want to get fired quick.
Why am I getting fired for?
Hey, both Evie Cooper are getting thrown out the bus here, so maybe you might be the one. I don't know.
Hey, dude, even the Titanic had some survivors.
Nice. All right, okay. So
just because a bunch of people died on it doesn't mean
everybody died
on it.
Yeah. So, but do you enjoy being independent, or would you like that label exposure?
What's your
vision?
For me, actually, I think it was just a matter of the people that I make music with. You know, it's a bunch of unknown and unsigned artists. So, what better way to find the next big sound than to go to those very same kids who just as hungry as you are, if not more, and you start something from the ground with them. Yeah, because it's easy to get like a deal. Well, it's relatively easy.
It is?
It's relatively easy in comparison to starting something on your own.
Off of that deal as well, is it possible for a person to like make ends meet? Because also keep in mind that I don't think that all deals necessarily give an artist an opportunity to live. I mean, there's a lot more.
As
to
an
it.
Indie or as
a mainstream artist, I think eats at a label. That is
the general perception.
Yeah. So, do you think that's right, or do you disagree with that completely? Because look, for me, the idea is more about creating something and building something. That's mm-hmm. what we're always behind. But obviously that takes a lot longer to build. You have to build trust. You have to build relationships, and yeah, you have to get it financed. Mm. Labels are generally financed.
Up and going.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is great. That's why I'm asking you about the comparison between the two.
Yeah.
Is there space for independent labels to really grow in South Africa, or should we just get the quick buyout because, you know, Mabala Noise pays?
Ah, I can't speak for other people. What I can tell you is that this is what works for me.
Yeah.
This is how I want it to be.
All right.
You know, this is the best way for me to lead, you know, from the front, you know.
Dope. So the people that you're working with, is there anybody in particular that stands out for you? I know obviously Kevin LeGrand.
Kevin stands out. Like I think everyone that I've worked with, and if you guys have time to just go on the internet and find these kids, you'll hear, you know, how hungry they are. Your Justin Bieber's were not Justin J. They came up via social media.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's our time to start using those platforms.
Yeah.
You know,
I completely agree. Because
we don't have internet sensations this side, like people that just blew up from nowhere,
nothing.
You know, just their raw talent. It and always has to be co-signed by some big record label. Or
so that's not necessary. I don't think it's necessary.
It's not necessary, but that is the trend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is what I'm trying to say, that, you know, there's so many ways of doing this thing.
Yeah. Because we were talking about how South Africa in general is being exposed on the international front. You know, you see Black Coffee going to parties with P. Diddy, bringing his boy Euphonic along, you know. So the door is literally opening for us on a worldwide scale.
And,
that's really interesting. That's very positive, because we do have the talent.
And that is not even something that happened overnight, you know. But it's good to see,
that it's happening.
Because it's Injawa.
Your music.
Yeah.
You don't do any vernac, do you, in your rapping?
I do.
You do.
Funny enough, that's how I started out. Yeah. But then, you know, when I took this temporary break. Before or a little after Big Brother. But when I came back, I made a conscious decision to just come back and speak to a lot more people than
That's where I wanted to come from. Like, because I know the South African market, to grab them more, you need to at least put a bit of vernac in there, you know, just to grab the hood, as per se.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
How do you mean? Like, as an AKA?
Dude, like each his own, my dude.
But what I'm trying to get to is basically, is it limiting to put vernac in your songs to get a wider audience, or do you think it's good to actually have that flavor, because it's also South African? Do you get what I'm saying?
My Jin was Chinese. You remember Jin?
Yeah, the freestyle beast. Yeah,
you remember Jin?
Yeah.
And he made a career off rap. Like a Chinese guy. Who would have thought? So Eminem as well. The time that he came up, no one was thinking that a white kid could just come up and blow up like that. So what I'm saying to you, if music is good,
it'll catch.
It's good. We listen to some songs that we don't even understand.
I mean, I've heard some Asian trap music. I don't know what the guy is saying. But it's so wavy. And you'll buy into it. So I get what you're saying.
You see. So I don't think there's a... What I'm saying to you, you are right. But at the same time, you're also wrong. I don't think there's a formula for music. Yeah. Whatever people will like, you can never tell. That's why we record as much as we can. If I feel like recording in Zoom
something
today,
will pop off.
Yeah. It's whatever people will gravitate to, you know. There's no formula to it.
All right, let's play one more of your tracks before we wrap up this interview.
This one has got some vernac, and a lot of it.
Cash.
Yeah, it's called Cash. I did it with this kid named Phil Cash. I used to rap with him way back in the day when we were still working under a stable called NBS Music. He also produces, so he just came through to me with this beat, and he was like, yo, my G,
let's hit it up.
Hook me up with a hook, you know, and I was like, dog, I'm not Nate Dogg. I can't just do the hook. If you want me to do the hook, I might as well jump in and hook up a verse.
This is Cash, yo.
This is for the streets, man.
For the streets.
But I like Cash. I just want that Cash.
All right, this is what makes him buy below zeros or sell below zeros.
Exactly. But I like Cash.
Yo.
Nagi bagela cash.
No cash.
Nagi bagela cash. Nagi bagela cash.
Nagi Patela Cash.
I must also come with a high for this one.
Pintwana hit the pinnacle.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
No, but that was dope. I really like that flow.
Since they cut off the umbilical, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, wait.
Pintwana hit the pinnacle. Since they cut off the umbilical.
Okay, so we are running out of time, man. It's been time always flies in this studio, man. Just before we leave, tell us where we can catch you, what people can expect next, you know, and what your Twitter handle is. Plug yourself right
now. Catch me on the flip side. It's Mindlos on Insta. It's Ian McLeod on Twitter. It's Mandla Hlatshwayo on Facebook.
Yeah. And any gigs that we might be able to catch you at or anywhere we can see?
Ouchie. I've got something on Saturday.
UJ.
Yeah,
UJ. Catch me close at UJ, guys.
I'm doing UJ this Saturday. Then there's another one, a big one, and I can't believe I forgot it. Oh, Big Zulu's birthday celebration.
All right,
how could I forget
at?
My G? Yeah, it's going to be in the Val. That is going to be happening next week, Saturday.
That
is the one that I was.
So these next two Saturdays is when you can catch me, Joe. Please make sure to find him on Twitter. It's been really dope hanging out with you, talking about what's happening in our country
and
listening to your dope music.
The worst.
Very, very dope to have you here in studio here with the worst guys. And now we're going to go out with the worst guys. Cypher, we might just actually be joined by me, Joe, over here. But you know how we do. We always on.
Bonnie and Clyde, I gotta ride or die, but I'm not gonna die tonight.
I don't wanna cause suicide, but these bitches better kill themselves cause they are not alive.
Freestyles on my daily do, but if I do, I'm a daily do. I'm a daily do, and I'ma pass it back to you.
Oh, pack to me, hey, 8-pack for me. I got a 6-pack, but clearly I'm packing heat. Hey,
look at me, I'm so looking fly today. The peach is my shirt, and I'm eating the pussy.
Wow, did you really just say that?
Yeah.
I don't think I can spray that. I don't think you can hate that.
You can't hate it.
Yeah.
You can't
so
hate it.
So I'll pass it way back.
Hey. His shirt is saying Ibiza. I mean, I need to get a visa to get visit Ibiza. He wants me to pronounce it properly.
Oh my gosh,
I'm a worst guy's G.
We don't speak that proper English.
English.
We're doing it in the worst. Why we speaking Spinglish? Because we add a S, we add a P, we add a R, we add a I. We don't care if the worst guy tonight on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Not good with the freestyles. Yeah. But I can add lips for days.
Yeah.
I can add lips for days.
Yeah.
I can end live for days. Nigga. About a week ago. I'm on my means of flow. I'm gonna hit it low.
Cliffcentral.com.